Hello, I'm Mike Reeves, morning host of WXJB-FM in Florida, and this is Conversations with Frank Marsani. One internet biography describes Frank in short as an auto dealership entrepreneur and philanthropist. And there's a lot more to that, but let me just say that here in the Tampa Bay area, he's known for multi-million dollar gifts to the arts and a big whopping over $40 million gift to the University of South Florida School of Medicine. Think you'll love this one, especially if you're trying to make your own fortune, because my conversation is based on a speech Frank once gave called Five Business Lessons from Frank Marsani. Number one, you say don't micromanage.
Yes. Let people, that goes back to my earlier comments, passing everything to the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. Let people make decisions all the way down the line. And don't micromanage people. Let people use their gray matter. Give them the tools to use their gray matter. They want to. Everyone wants to excel. No matter what the job is, what kind of task it is, everyone wants to excel.
You don't lean over their shoulder.
That's right.
You figure out this person has something on the go. Isn't the hiring process the most important part when you hire somebody? Because I've always thought a good manager shouldn't have to fire many people if they take time to hire the right people.
That's correct. In my case, everyone has these...
I bet you're going to say human resources departments.
You need to check on people's background. You need to do a lot of this. But the way we always worked was the manager who was going to work with or for him made the ultimate hiring decision. Mm-hmm. Because who were they going to be reporting to? And was it going to be a harmonious relationship? I think today, unfortunately, human resources is making some decisions, and then people who they work for tend to not have the input with the new hires they should.
The hiring process today is all about sending your resume, or they call them CVC, I believe, on the internet. It's all about nothing personal. And, you know, my wife is, you know, dipping her toe back into the workforce trying to find a part-time job somewhere, and she's having a little trouble with it because she comes from an era when you would just make a phone call to somebody. And I said, well, wait till I get up there and we start socializing. You'll be fine. Forget about looking for a job over the internet right now. Nobody can tell nothing from you from one of those. But that's the way a lot of folks are hired, off the internet. It makes no sense to me. Maybe, but I was never much of a manager. Number two, five business lessons from Frank Marsani. Manage to the norm. What does that mean?
The manager to the norm would be able to handle the exception. The normal things just go on every day, and in any business, you take the car business, you sell cars, you repair cars, and if you're painting a house, you know what you've got to do. But the exception is that suddenly the car breaks down. Now then, you got an exception. Mm-hmm. The norm is that people come into an automobile dealership and everything is routine. They have to change the oil or do this or that, and it's a routine. So the exception is this very difficult, take a lot of diagnosis or something. So that's the exception. But what happens in a lot of companies, we always guarded against, is you manage to the norm by being able to handle the exception. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies, they have rules. I hate to say this about government. Government manages to the exception rather than the norm.
Wow.
So just think about it.
Yeah.
It's always the exception that they're worried about. And then, so
in other words, they'll make you do something that benefits one or two people out of 100 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you're managing to that exception rather than the norm.
You can get all tied up stumbling over dollars to pick up pennies.
That's right. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. We could probably talk about management to the norm for hours. I love this one of your five business lessons from Frank Marsani. Never stop learning.
Well, that's true. I mean, I read all the time. I used to always make. You can't make people do things. Mm-hmm. But they were supposed to read the local newspaper, read the Wall Street Journal, read all kinds of publications about their industry. And I still, today, I read three newspapers every day. I like newspapers rather than...
I love them, too. I don't know where you're finding three of them, by the way. USA Today, Wall Street Journal, Tampa Bay Times, maybe?
Yeah, and the New York Times.
New York Times, yeah. Well, good for you.
There's a great small book called The Week, which comes out every week. It's kind of a synopsis of what's going on in
really?
The world.
Okay. Okay.
And then The Economist, it's a bi-monthly, the oldest publication in the world. I think it started in 1847 in Great Britain. So you just have to keep learning and reading books, knowing what's going on. As an example, I just finished a book. It's called The New Silk Roads. It's about China and what they're doing around the world. Well, how's that going to impact us? How are things going to impact you that you don't even know? If you don't read and everything, you don't know how the future is going to impact you.
They're thinking in long term.
Absolutely.
And we don't. And of course, we can't because of the way our president, for instance, changes every 4 to 8 years. It's impossible to think as long term as they do.
That's right. And the way we Americans, you know, we want instant gratification, mm-hmm. so to speak, no matter who we are. We kind of want things to happen. You know, there are a lot of companies in Japan and China that are looking out 150 years for their companies.
Isn't that crazy?
Not five. They don't have a 5-year plan. They got 150-year
plan. That's what temporarily almost wiped out the American auto industry because they were not looking ahead.
That's right. Exactly.
They were
exactly
selling
right.
for the now, making the profit for the now with these high gas vehicles, not thinking that, hey, gas may not be 50 cents a gallon forever.
And the technology.
High profit vehicles is what I meant to say because they made a lot of money. And they're still selling those, but they're better mileage, cooler, more practical SUVs for today's driver.
Yeah. So you never quit learning. It's like we're sitting here today. I try to learn every day. I read so many publications. I'm excited about that. I excite others about it because the more you know about what's going on in the world, the better you're going to be able to approach your life better, and you're going to be more comfortable in your skin.
You mentioned China. You've been there many times.
Yes, sir.
I would love to do a future podcast about them.
Okay.
Managing toward the future because I'm very concerned about what they're doing. And also concerned that we as Americans don't read as much as you do.
Yep.
Maybe nobody can read as much as you do, but I read a lot. And, and I find out the older I get, the more I read, the less I know and the more I want to know. But boy, if you have a good background of history, it at least helps you understand the news better.
Oh, absolutely. And you just said an important thing there. Know that you don't know.
And by the way, a little aside, I wonder what you think about this. I don't judge presidents much in the here and now. Who knows how George W. Bush will turn out in history? But, you know, to try to put that instant finger on them, and we overjudge them in the moment. Forgetting the current president, in general, do you think along those lines? I mean, does that make sense to you?
Well,
when I look back at some of them, which I really liked back then, and now I don't like so much, and vice versa.
Yeah, and vice versa. Yeah, some of the people I didn't like ended up being pretty good presidents.
Like Truman. Truman is great now. Back in the day, and you were there for that.
Yeah,
it wasn't like that.
A lot
that
of people didn't like President Truman.
Just wanted to throw that out. Two more of your five business lessons from Frank Morsani to wrap up here. Take risks. That seems understandable, yet scary. What was the biggest risk you ever took?
Well, that starts out when I was able to buy my first automobile dealership. I had this opportunity. The gentleman, Mr. Homer Herndon, owned these dealerships, and he was very ill, and I came in to run the companies, and he passed away 11 months later. So I had the opportunity to buy the dealerships from him. Well, the franchises, even had one dealership. And at that time, he had Mercedes-Benz, Toyota, and Volvo, and English Ford, and Triumph, and Fiat. We called it the fruit stand, because at that time, Mercedes was selling 8,000 cars a year in the United States, 8,000. Toyota was selling 50,000 cars.
Mm-hmm. English Ford couldn't have been selling a lot of cars back then.
English Ford used to be the number one import car in the United States. They outsold Volkswagen. Back in the 60s, English Ford outsold Volkswagen.
We had one.
My
dad had one.
Had
sure.
a Corona?
I don't remember which one it was, but I know we had an English Ford.
Yeah.
We had a foreign car where the shifter was on the dashboard, and you shifted it with your finger, two fingers.
Yes.
That might have been the English Ford that we had.
Yeah, could have been.
Son of a gun. So you got a fruit stand, a car.
That's what we called a fruit stand. So anyway, I had $10,000 that I'd saved. I borrowed $10,000 from one of my employees, and I borrowed $5,000 from my brother. And the old First Florida Banks, they were the biggest bank in Tampa at that time, they loaned me $240,000.
You put up 25 grand.
Yep.
And then they loaned you the
That's
chunk.
Right.
And you were able to buy this fruit stand of dealerships?
Yes.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Well,
what you were buying was kind of weird.
That's right. It was kind of weird. And it was a lot of money at that. It was an awful lot of money.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, to the risk. I was scared to death. You asked me about risk. And the fact I got the hives, I was all broken out. I looked like I had the measles. I was scared to death. But I decided to risk that I was going to have to pay my brother back and my friend back who loaned me the $15,000. So I knew I was going to have to pay them back. And I never dreamed to borrow $240,000. That was beyond my comprehension.
Even today, I know I'm not a businessman, so I wouldn't do it. But everybody toys with that opportunity once in a blue moon, and I'm glad I never did it because I've managed very short periods of time in my life, and I don't like it. What were you so scared about? Did you not really know what you were doing or not have confidence in yourself?
Well, I had confidence in myself. I've always had a lot of confidence in myself doing anything. I knew I could fix anything when I was a boy and as a man, as a mechanic. And later on, I knew I could fix things. I was never concerned about whether I could do it. I was concerned about someone loaning me the money and I had to pay it back. Mm-hmm. That was scary.
So in other words, you looked at it, you said, I know I can make this work, but on the flip side, that little voice saying, what if I don't? But it wasn't because you thought you were buying a bad deal. You thought that this is a good deal.
I thought it was a good deal, yes.
Just scary to step the
Just scary
in the water
to step up
time.
To it. That was the scariest time in my life.
And then you move on from that to give back. And it sounds like with you, the giving back has been something you've done all your life. It's not just after you've accumulated all the money and started doing philanthropy.
No, yeah, we've always done that. I've always felt that was a responsibility to help your fellow man every day.
The golden rule.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we preach, or I say preach. That's what our responsibilities are in life.
If you follow the golden rule and you do it in business, at least in your case, it can turn into a lot of gold, which you continue to give back. Frank, this has been a pleasure. I can't wait for another one of these.
Well, thank you. My pleasure, Mike.
And thus ends the second podcast of Conversations with Frank Morsani. Now, if that name is kind of new to you, please check out all he's done by Googling his name, spelled M-O-R-S-A-N-I. There's also a great book about his life and approach to success in all areas called To Be Frank. Hope you like these first two podcasts. I can't wait for number three, where the focus will be on China, a place Frank Morsani has not only visited numerous times, but has also been a guest of that massive country's biggest movers and shakers. And I think you'll find what Frank has to say on the subject illuminating and compelling. You see, he knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two, to borrow a phrase. I'm your host, Mike Reeves. If you'd like to find out more about me, go to Facebook and enter the words Mike Reeves Radio.